Well, before I share the word with you, just want to let you know I've been recently diagnosed with AAADD, Age Activated Attention Deficit Disorder. This is how it manifests. I decide to water my garden, so I turn the hose on in the driveway and look over at my car. I notice my car needs to be washed, so I start towards the garage and I see the mailman pulling up to leave the mail, and so I go out to get the mail and bring it in and stand it at the table and throwing the junk mail in the trash can, and I see that the trash can's getting full, so I take the trash out. But as I start to head out with the trash, I think, well, you know, if I'm going outside with the trash, I might as well pay the bills and mail the bills. So I go to get my checkbook and I sit down to write the checks, but there's only one check left in the checkbook, so I go to the bedroom, to the desk in there to get the extra checks. And when I get there, I see a cup of coffee sitting on the desk that I had been drinking earlier, and I go to move it so that I don't knock it over. Well, I realize that it's cold, so I decide I'll take it to the kitchen and heat it in the microwave. Well, on the way to the microwave, I notice that a bulb is out, and so I set the coffee down on the counter, and I discover my reading glasses that I've been searching for all morning. So I decide to put them back on the desk, but first I'm going to go ahead and change that light bulb. So I set the glasses back down on the table and take the bulb out of the lamp, and suddenly I see the TV remote that's been missing. Someone left it on the kitchen table. So I realize that tonight when I go to watch TV, I'll be looking for the remote, and I won't remember it's on the kitchen table. So I decide to put it back where it belongs, but first I'm going to go ahead and change that bulb. So I go to the cabinet and look for the right bulb, but the cabinet is such a mess, I decide, well, I need to organize this cabinet. And after a few minutes, I think, this is going to take way too long. I've already got way too many things going. So I head back down the hall trying to remember what I was going to do. And at the end of the day, the driveway's flooded and the car isn't washed. The bills aren't paid. There's a cold cup of coffee sitting on the counter. There's still only one check in my checkbook. There's no bulb in the lamp. I can't find the remote, can't find my glasses, and I don't remember what I did with my car keys. And I'm trying to figure out why nothing got done today, because I've been busy all day long and I'm really, really tired. Now, those of you that are laughing, it's probably because you know there's too much truth in some of that stuff. But I find that, you know, here at 50, I can still do most things. It just takes a little longer, you know, and you learn to adapt. You learn there's certain ways that you do things, like when you bend down to pick something up off the floor, which you try to avoid. But when you do that, you know, you learn that if you make a little extra noise, it just seems to help, you know. Now, y'all know what I'm talking about, you know. Well, and I can, you know, I can still work just as hard as I ever could as long as I have a nap. There's a lot of truth in that, isn't there, Carmen? Anyway, but pray for me, all right? So we're going to pray the Lord will quicken my mind that I'll be able to preach this morning, all right? Father, we just thank you for the word of the Lord. And Lord, I thank you for each person that's come today to worship and receive from your word. And Father, I just pray that truly, Lord, you would speak into our hearts and lives. Father, I pray that the truth of God's word would cause faith to rise in our hearts and help us, Lord, to receive, Lord, the blessings, the gifts, miracles, Lord, that you have for us. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. Amen. But we have been studying on grace, that grace is for everyone for many weeks now. And, you know, I don't apologize for that because I've seen, even as we go through this series, week after week, I've seen in greater and greater measure how much we need the message of grace in the body of Christ. You know, when we have mindsets, attitudes that are contrary to the Word of God, sometimes those things are like a stronghold in our mind. It is difficult to rewire the way we think and our attitude about things. And so we don't always get it the first time. It takes many times for us to hear the word sometimes before we begin to really see the truth and be set free and really believe what the message of God's word is to us. So we're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Now I want you to notice the word gift there. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It is a gift. It is freely given to us by His grace. The title of the message this morning is The Gifts of Grace. And I want to tell you that when God gives us the gift of salvation, it is much more than just that we have been saved from hell. No, that word saved there is talking about that we have been saved from the sinful human condition. We have been saved from our sins, forgiven. We've been set free. We've been delivered. It also means that we have been healed and made whole, body, soul, and spirit. And how do we receive all that? It is a gift by God's grace that we just receive through faith. It is by grace that we have received that gift of righteousness. We talked about that a few weeks ago, but it really is a gift. You can't earn it. Nobody is righteous in their own works and in their own morality. It doesn't matter how religious, how moral somebody may be. The Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags, but it is a righteousness by faith. That's what the Bible says. It is simply received by faith. It is given to us as a free gift. And that righteousness means that we have right standing with God. We have a right relationship with Him. We can be close to Him. And all of that is a gift freely given to us by His grace. Grace is God's undeserved favor upon our lives, that He bestows His goodness upon us and His gifts upon us, not because we deserve it or we have earned it in any way, but simply because of His grace. Now, help me complete these well-known phrases. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. We make money the old-fashioned way. We earn it. God helps those that... I got a shirt that says this one on it. I hadn't worn it in a long time, but it says, no pain, no gain. Yeah, we know it, don't we? There's no such thing as a free lunch, but there's a free Mexican dinner tonight, all right? You get what you pay for. See, it's that work ethic. It's that American way of thinking that you have to earn it, you got to pay for it. The problem is, when we bring that mindset into our relationship with God, it gets us in trouble. You see, we're not serving Him to earn, to deserve, to work for His blessings. No, they are available to us by His grace. We just receive them by faith. He saves us by grace. He keeps us by grace. If we accomplish anything good in this life, it is the grace of God working through us. If we become anything good, it is by God's grace. And whatever gifts we have, whatever miracles we receive in our life, all of that are the gifts of grace. You know, when we start thinking in that works mindset, it keeps us from receiving. Now, all of that starts when we're just little bitty. We grow up learning that mindset. Well, we even teach it to the little children this time of year. We lie to them and we tell them, hey, you better be good or Santa Claus isn't going to bring you anything. Because you know that Santa Claus is going to bring them something even if they're a horrible little stinker. But we tell them that, you better be good or you're not going to get anything. And you know that a lot of believers have that same mentality towards God. You better be good. You better do everything right or you're not going to receive. You know, you better get all your ducks in a row. You better not do that. And you better do this. And you just do everything right. And then maybe God will bless you. Maybe God will give you a gift. Maybe God will do something good in your life. And we bring that whole works mentality into our relationship with God, where even though we know that we've been saved by grace and we talk about the gift of righteousness, somehow we think then we're going to earn things from God. Listen, If we truly have received a gift of righteousness, and that means that we are in right relationship, right standing before Him, that He, when He looks at us, He doesn't see our sin, but He sees someone who has been justified and acquitted. He sees somebody who's been cleansed of all unrighteousness. Then what is there in our life that can keep the blessings of God and keep the gifts, the answers to our prayer, the promises being fulfilled? What is there in our life that can stop that when we are righteous in His sight? I'm telling you, it is by God's grace that we receive those blessings and those answers to prayer and the promises fulfilled. Romans 11:6. If by grace, then it's no longer by works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. It's not really that complicated. It's either grace or it's works. Don't try to add works to grace. You miss the grace of God. But you either earn it by works or you receive it by faith. You either look at the blessings of God as your earnings or as a free gift. Now, how do you think that someone would feel if they came over to your house this week and they tried to give you a gift and you insisted that you're going to pay for it? Well, let's just put a shoe on the other foot. Let's say that you go over to somebody else's house and you're going to give them a gift and they say, no, I'm going to have to earn this. I'm going to have to come over to your house. I'll come over and mow your yard and clean your house, or I'm going to pay you out of my pocket. Here, let me give you the money for this gift. And you see, that is exactly the way people do the Heavenly Father when He wants to freely give us something and bless us, and we feel like we have to earn it and we want to pay for it. That's not grace. That's works. And I'm telling you, His gifts are available to us by grace. You know, you can separate Christianity from every other major religion in the world by this one word, grace. It is as simple as that. You want to know what the main difference? Grace. Now, there's a lot of differences. We could talk about, listen, there's only one who ever died for our sin. It's Jesus. But you see, because of His death on the cross, this grace is available to us. You can pretty much summarize every other major religion in this one word, do. You got to do something. Strap a bomb on and kill people. Ride a bike and go door to door. You got to dress this way. You got to go stand in the airport with a tambourine and sell stuff. You got to do something. You got to pay a certain amount. Do this, do that. Excuse me. And part of the problem is that you can never know if you've done enough. And you know, that's the same problem when you bring works into Christianity. Have you done enough to deserve? Have you earned it yet? And the bigger problem is that no, you haven't. Because you can't earn it. You can't deserve it. You can never do enough. See, Christianity is summarized in this word, done. It's already done on the cross. Listen, your salvation is already paid for. Your sins have already been paid for. You don't have to do penance and pay for your sins. That's what Jesus did on the cross. He paid for every sin. Excuse me. But it's already done. If you need a healing in your body, sounds like I need one this morning, doesn't it? If you need a healing in your body, Jesus already paid for that on the cross. By His stripes, by the wounds on His back, we were healed. It's already done. How do you receive a gift? Let me tell you, you just receive it by faith. You just accept it. It's as simple as that. You know, some people want to make faith real complicated. Well, faith is just as simple as receiving. Believe you receive, and you shall have it. For something to be a gift, somebody had to pay for it. Jesus did that. Somebody has to offer it. He did that also. It's for whosoever will. And somebody has to receive it. That's our part. We just accept it. We just receive it. It's a gift, the gift of salvation. I'm telling you, it comes with many other gifts. Now, 2 Peter 3:18 says that we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it seems like most believers get saved by grace through faith and they begin their relationship with the Lord. But it's not long until they begin to try to earn things from God and trying to get to the place where they deserve something. You know, one of the things I've seen, and we've all heard these kind of comments and things happen in life is, well, why do bad things happen to good people? And why you know, this person, they're such a good person. They're such a good Christian. Let me tell you something. It's not about how good you are and how moral you are. Well, I'm just kind of shaking things up this morning, aren't I? I can see the wheels turning. Well, I want you to understand, obedience is important. Jesus said that if a man hears his teachings and doesn't put them into practice, he's like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand, and when the storms of life come against your house, it comes down with a great crash. And certainly, if we don't obey the principles of Scripture, we bring heartache and trouble and problems on ourselves. I understand that. I want you to understand that. See, some people are deceived about that. They think it doesn't matter how they live. Yes, certainly it does. We've been talking about blessings on Wednesday night. And one of the things we talked about a couple of weeks ago is how that it's important that you walk in wisdom. If you do foolish things, you're opening the door for destruction in your life. And so many people in our world, they have all kinds of problems and heartache. It's not the judgment of God. It is simply the result of doing stupid things. And there are spiritual laws like the law of sowing and reaping. And grace does not negate obedience. It doesn't negate all of the principles of Scripture and do away with the law of sowing and reaping. But we need to understand that by the grace of God, by His undeserved favor, there are things that God has already provided for us in His Word, not for us to earn, but things that are freely given to us by grace. And all we have to do is believe that we receive. You know, I realize that this subject can be kind of complicated, but it's not really as complicated as we make it. I'm telling you, it is as simple as that we rely upon the grace of God rather than our own works and self-righteousness. Listen to this from Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. He says, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which really is no gospel at all. You see, when you take the grace out, there's no good news left because none of us can measure up to the law. He says, evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. And I just want to say again, yes, the Scripture, the principles of Scripture and obedience is important. But listen, we obey God because we believe and because we love Him, not because we're trying to earn something from Him. And as long as people have that mindset that if I just do this and this and this, and if I could stop that and stop that, well, then God would do what I want Him to do. No. Listen, God responds to our simple faith and trust in what He has already said, what He has already provided for us in His Word. Now, you know, let me just give you a couple of other examples about how important it is to obey the principles of Scripture. You know, the Bible says you train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. And I want to tell you, if you don't train up your children, there's going to come a day when trouble's going to come. Husbands, the Bible says, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. If you don't love your wife and treat her right, I'm telling you, trouble's coming down the road. So we don't just, I'm not telling you that grace means that it doesn't matter how you live or what you do. What I am telling you is that you can't earn the blessings, the miracles, the gifts from God that are freely given to us. You just receive them by faith. The works mentality is what I did. Grace mentality is what God did. The well of grace is much deeper than what most Christians think. See, most Christians look at being saved by grace as a ticket for the train to glory. I got my ticket. I'm on my way to glory. I got my ticket. I'm on the train. Praise the Lord. And they're riding in the cattle car. Well, God wants you to have the whole, you know, He wants you to ride in the luxury car. Now, I'm not just talking about material things. I'm illustrating to you that most people are missing out on so much of the blessings and the gifts that God has for them. Why? Because they know in their heart they don't deserve it. They're not worthy. But it's not about our righteousness. It is about what He has done and given us the gift of righteousness. So listen, I'm telling you, the benefits, the gifts, the blessings, it's for us, and we need to receive those things by faith. If you have your Bible, turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to remind you how bad you were. As for you, starting from verse 1. You were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thought, like the rest, we were by nature the objects of wrath. You see, we didn't deserve anything from God. We can't earn something from Him. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. The King James says, the exceeding riches of His grace. The NASB says the surpassing riches. Listen, it's exceeding. It's surpassing. It's beyond what we can even imagine. The riches of His grace in the coming ages, He's going to show that to us in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love Him. You can't even imagine all the blessings, the good things that God has in store for you. But you see, that grace, it is available to us that we just receive by faith. I'm so glad the Lord does not treat us as our sins deserve. That's what the Bible says in Psalms 103 and verse 10. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. No, we are standing in His grace. You know, the Bible makes this very clear in the Old Testament that under the law, we were under a curse. And it says that the curses of the law would overtake us. But we're not under the law, the Bible tells us, but under grace. And under grace, I'm telling you, the blessings of God will overtake you. But you have to believe that God wants to bless you. When we're trying to earn something from God, it puts us in the position where we're asking God to give us what we deserve. And none of us really wants that. No, we want His grace. Romans 8:32 is a verse that every Christian ought to underline in their Bible. You ought to write it out on a 3x5 card. You ought to memorize it. You ought to make it one of your favorite verses. It is such a powerful verse. He who did not spare His Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Wow. Y'all remember earlier we started off with, finish these phrases, if it sounds too good to be true, it is. Except when it's God doing the talking. And when he says that the one who gave us his own son, how will he not graciously give us all things? Wow. And that word graciously there, it's a good translation, the NIV there, when it says graciously, because it is the same root word as grace. It's just a different form of the word grace. It is by grace. He graciously gives us all things. It's the word graciously and then gives. He wants to give it to you. It's a gift. All things. I'm telling you, God has provided so many things for us by the promises of His Word that He freely gives to us by His grace as a gift. The key is, and the problem is, the issue is whether or not we can believe that God is just that good and that gracious, that He would do that in spite of me. See, the attitude of most believers is that if we did everything right, then God would do a miracle. If we just get rid of all of our sins and if we just work real hard for the Lord and we just do this and do that, then God will answer our prayers. And I'm telling you, that's that works mentality that needs to be torn down. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. He's not counting your sins. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He's not counting your sin against you and saying, oh, well, I'm sorry, I can't do this miracle in your life. I can't bless you. I can't give you that because you messed up. He's not even counting your sins. And all of that works mentality cripples your faith and keeps you from receiving. It's not our sins that are the problem. It's not our lack of religion. It's not that we need to make greater sacrifices. It's not that we haven't worked hard enough or labored enough. I'm telling you, it is as simple as this, that we need to believe in the grace and mercy and the goodness of God, that by faith we can receive the blessings, the gifts, the miracles that He has for us. All of that works mentality is a deception. I'm telling you, and it keeps people from receiving what God wants to do in their life. Galatians 3:5, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Wow. I know a lot of you didn't have a Bible because y'all aren't flipping. I noticed too, by the way. Just saying. Does He work miracles among you? Give you His Spirit? Because you did this and did this and did this and you didn't do that? Or is it because you believe what you heard? I'm telling you, the answer is you believe. You believe the message of God's Word. And because you do, He gives you His Spirit and He works miracles among us. Why does He work miracles? Because we believe. It is not because, well, we prayed long enough, we finally racked up enough points in heaven so that God would do it. No, it is simply because we believe. It is not by our works of righteousness. We receive blessings. We receive a promises fulfilled by grace through faith when we hear the message of God's Word. But so many people today, they're living under this burden of works where they turn their confession, their devotional life, their service for the Lord, and even their worship into works that somehow they're going to earn something from God. I'm telling you, you don't have to earn something from God when He wants to freely give it to you and He wants to bless you. And our devotional life, listen to me. If you're trying to earn something from God, you need to just back up and start over with Jesus. Because you've got the mindset and the mentality of works and religion, and that's not what your relationship with God is about. Here's what it's about. I love Him because He first loved me. And because He has freely given to me the gifts of grace and blessed me and loved me, I love Him and I worship Him because I love Him. And I give because I love Him. And I want to work for Him and serve Him, not to earn something, but because I love Him. I'm telling you, this is a love relationship that we have, and He started it in Christ. He reconciled us to Himself, and it's because He first loved us that we love Him. And that's why, that is our motivation for our dedication and our devotional life and our service for the Lord and our worship, not to earn something from God. You know, the reason that it's important in receiving by faith a gift, a miracle, a blessing from God, it's important that you read the Bible and you hear the word preached, and it's important that you pray and all of those things, because if you don't, in this unbelieving, doubting, cynical world, the only way you're going to ever have faith to believe and receive a miracle or a blessing from God is when you hear the message. And those things build our faith and strengthen our faith. So yeah, you need to hear the word and you need to be in prayer and you need to be worshiping God. Even worship will build your faith. But it's not because you're trying to earn something from God. You do those things because you love Him. And as you do, your faith is strengthened and encouraged so that you can receive. But you know, when Jesus walked this earth, now He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what the Bible says. And as Jesus walked this earth and you see Him healing people, setting people free, casting demons out of people, it is absolutely amazing that never one time did He tell somebody, "I'm sorry, I can't help you because you're just too rank of a sinner." He never did that. He didn't say, "Well, you know, I'm not going to minister to you. You're a prostitute. I can't minister to you." He didn't do that. He didn't say, "Well, you know, you're a Samaritan and you Samaritans are like dogs to us Jews. I'm not going to minister to you. I'm not going to pray for you." There was nobody that He turned away on the basis of their religion or their lack thereof. There was nobody that He turned away on the basis of their morality or immorality. It is absolutely amazing. Jesus never questioned their religion. He didn't question their theology. He didn't get into, "Okay, now tell me what you believe. We're going to see if you can receive a miracle." It is as simple as this, that those who believed the message received. Those who believed were healed, were set free. That same Jesus is still the same today. It's by grace. It's not because we've earned it. It's not because we've become religious enough. No, all of that self-righteousness is a hindrance to receiving a miracle from God, because it is about what He has already done. You know, Mark chapter 5 tells us a story about a ruler of the synagogue named Jairus who comes to Jesus and he says, "My daughter is very, very sick." And Jesus says, "I will come and heal her." And as they're on the way, there is a woman who's had an issue of blood for 12 years. And she says to herself, "If I can just touch the hem of His garment, I know that I'll be healed." Now, we don't know anything about this woman's religious or moral background. You know why? Because it's not an issue. The only thing that is an issue is that she says, "I know that if I touch the hem of His garment, I will be healed." That was a point of contact for her, that if she could just touch that garment, she knew she would be healed. And sure enough, when she touched His garment, power went out from Him and she was healed. Jesus turns around and says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples are saying, "Well, Lord, there's a crowd pressing against You. How can You say, 'Who touched me?'" But He knew that power had gone out from Him. And listen to what He says to that woman. Your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. He said, your faith has healed you. The next moment, men from Jairus' house came and they said, you don't need to bother Jesus anymore. Your daughter is already dead. Jesus turns to him and says this very simple phrase, don't be afraid, only believe. Don't be afraid, only believe. The NIV says, just believe. Just believe. I'm telling you, church, you need a miracle, you need a gift, some blessing from God. Most of the time, the real issue is just simply believe. Only believe. Oh, but you don't understand, I need a real miracle. You can't need a greater miracle than Jairus did. Your daughter is already dead. Jesus says, don't be afraid, only believe. Just believe. You get a bad report, the worst has happened, only believe. You're praying for a miracle, maybe for somebody else. How about the Roman soldier? You know what? A lot of you think you're bad. Let me tell you, you look like a saint compared to most of those Roman soldiers. A Roman soldier comes to Jesus. Jesus doesn't investigate his morality, his religion. The man says, my servant is sick. And Jesus says, then I will come and heal him. And the man says, I'm not worthy that you should even come under my roof. He knew he didn't deserve. He knew he wasn't worthy. But he had great faith. He said, speak the word only, and I know that it will be done. Jesus said he didn't find that great of faith in all of Israel. But listen, Jesus says to that man, in Matthew 8, 13, he says, go, it will be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed that very hour. Just as you believed. In the very next chapter, there are two blind men following Jesus. Matthew 9, 27 through 29. And they're saying, have mercy on us, son of David. The blind men came to him and they asked, or he asked them, he said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? They said, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, be it unto you. I'm telling you, the key is, do you believe the message of God's word? Do you believe the promises of God's word? Don't allow your works, don't allow that old condemnation to keep you from believing that God would just bless you. That God would just do that for you. I'm telling you, a lot of people think that the key is that you got to get all your ducks in a row and get everything right in your life and then you can receive a miracle. Or, well, you got to get all of your theology straightened out and get everything perfect in your theology, then you can receive a miracle. None of that was ever an issue with the people that Jesus ministered to. There was only one real theological issue. Do you believe the message? I'm telling you this morning, if we want to receive of the gifts of God's grace, we need to believe the message that our God really is that good. And whatever you're believing for, whatever needs you have, whatever miracles you would ask for, you need to get your mind off of works and onto His grace and believe in His goodness instead of yours. Amen. Now, let me remind you of a story, the prodigal son, what we call the story of the prodigal son. That prodigal son, he was a mess. I mean, he took all of his inheritance and he went out and wasted it in wild and sinful living. And Jesus tells us this story to illustrate to us what our Heavenly Father is like. And so he's telling us this story about this guy who was so horrible, just went out and wasted all of his wealth in sinful living. And then at some point he finally comes to himself and he says, I'm going to go back to my father's house and make myself like one of his hired servants. But the Father, now who is Jesus showing us? He's showing us the Heavenly Father. He's explaining to us what our Heavenly Father is like. He says the Father sees him coming from a long way off and he goes running to meet him. Now first of all, I want to tell you something. If you've been away from God and you turn towards God, you don't have to do time. You don't have to pay a price. Price has been paid. Your Father's going to come running to meet you and throw His arms around you. He loves you. That's grace. But not only is the relationship restored, He doesn't say, "Hey, my son's home. Somebody go get an old tattered robe." He says, "Bring the best robe." I'm talking about gifts of grace, not things we've earned. You see, that son, he knew he didn't deserve anything. He said, "I'll make myself like a hired servant." But the father said, "Bring the best robe. Bring my ring and put it on his finger. Get shoes for his feet. We're going to kill the fatted calf and have a celebration." I'm telling you, that is how our Heavenly Father is. He's not withholding up there in heaven. Some people have this image of God that He's up there holding back miracles and gifts and blessings. If somebody would just be good enough, I could give it to them. You can't. It's by His grace. And you need to believe that it's for you and believe that you receive. You know, that's what Jesus said in Mark 11:24. "What things soever you desire when you pray and believe you receive, you shall have them." You got to believe that it's for you and that He's just that good. That's grace. And I'm telling you, He hasn't changed. Whatever blessings, whatever promises we're standing on and believing for, we need to realize that it's by His grace. You know, I want to illustrate one more time to you. You know, we read there in Galatians that God gives us a spirit and He works miracles among us because we believe the message. But you know, a lot of people have a hard time receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. And again, most of the time, it's because there's so much of this, all kinds of attitudes and misconceptions that come into play that keep people from just receiving. If somebody walks up to you and hands you a gift, somebody handed me one just a few minutes ago in my office. Just walked right up to me and handed me a gift. And you know what I did to receive it? I just reached out and received it. And I'm telling you, that is exactly the way the Holy Spirit is given to us. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, He says, "If you are evil and you know how to give good gifts to your children..." And that's what we do this time of year. We love to give good gifts to our children. Just to see that look on their face, to see the joy, just to make them happy, you know. And we get such joy out of that. How do you think our Heavenly Father feels when He gives gifts to us? You see, He's not holding back on us. But Jesus said, "If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask?" You see, here's the only thing that's required. If you've been born again, there's only one thing that's required for you to receive the Holy Spirit. Just believe. Just receive it. That's it. You just receive it by faith. Believe you receive, Jesus said, and you shall have it. And I'm telling you this morning, so many of the promises of God and the miracles, healings, deliverance, all kinds of gifts and miracles that we want to receive, the answer is that we just need to believe the message and believe that by the grace of God, it's already provided for us. Our Father wants to give it to us. We just need to, by faith, reach out and take hold of it. Amen. I want to close with this passage from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." I'm telling you, we're coming to the throne of grace, and we're approaching that throne of grace with confidence, not self-righteousness or self-confidence, but we come with confidence because of the blood of Jesus so that we can receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. And I'm telling you this morning, If you're in a time of need, come to the throne of grace. You don't have to earn it. You can't. You can't deserve it. It's grace. You come to the throne of grace and you find grace and mercy to help in your time of need.